This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
It's a real privilege and honour to be here and to open God's word with you today. This church has a really special part in our family's life. So much of our own story, our faith and our formation has happened here. And so incredibly grateful for everything that God has done here, but will continue to do in and through this space. If we've never met before, my name's Dubsy. I'm a speaker and an author, and I do spend my days traveling around Australia, speaking to teenagers, to parents, helping them navigate what I would describe as life's inescapable moments. Because here's what I know, all of life has been shaped by moments, and all of life will continue to be shaped by the moments that we experience. And in this lifetime, there are moments that are unavoidable. They are inescapable. It's not a matter of if, but when these moments arrive. And when these moments come into our life, God is not just absent, you know, sitting on the sidelines, fingers crossed, hoping that you can make it through. No, God is present. God has something to say. And today we're going to look at a moment of renewal. And we're going to zoom in and focus in on our heart. And we're going to look at what does it mean for us to be a people to go all in on our faith and to live a life of surrender. So how about I pray and we'll get into it. Father God, we thank you so much that you're already here, that you're moving, that you're breathing, that you're speaking. We ask Holy Spirit that you would continue to speak, that you continue to shape us and mold us. Thank you, God, that you are a God of renewal. You're a God that makes things new. And God, I just pray right now, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, that the old would go and that the new would come, that the old ways that are not serving us in our spiritual journey, in our life, would they go? And that the new would come, and we posture ourselves this morning to receive something new, to move us forward in our faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder, have you ever had the moment where God has asked you to go all in on an area of your faith? I remember the year was 2016, and to start off this year, God was speaking to me about a few things in my life. And one of the things that he was speaking to me about was stepping back into local church ministry. At the time, we were speaking in schools around Australia, doing a few other jobs, odd jobs to just pay the bills. So I took this word and I shared it with a close friend. I shared it with a mentor, and he agreed that God was speaking, that he was breathing on this. So it kind of set us on a course for a good 6-month journey of exploring and considering what this was, what it would look like, where are we going? And all the opportunities we looked at, we just never felt a sense of peace. So we said no to about 8 different things in this 6-month period. Roll into 2017, and I get this phone call from a friend of mine who was pastoring in Adelaide. Hadn't chatted to him for at least 6 months, and started with just a general catch up. And then I just decided to share a little bit about what God had been doing in my life and how he's been speaking to me and leading me back towards local church ministry. And he goes, "Well, it's interesting that I called you." And I said, "Oh, how so?" He says, "Well, actually, we've got a role that's coming up in 6 weeks' time. What are the chances that you and your family would consider coming to Adelaide?" It's a great question, because I don't know about you, but when I thought about the call of God, like if God was going to call me anywhere, the answer would be yes to Noosa. "Yes, Lord, I will go. Send me. I will not hesitate. I will not delay. I will leave this place of Melbourne of inconsistent weather, and I will work on my pasty white skin and tan myself in the beach of Noosa. Yes, Lord, I'll go there." So when it was not Noosa, I have to confess, Adelaide wasn't exactly a bucket list item. Matter of fact, someone in between services said, "You know what, Dubsy, I've never been to Adelaide. I just drive through it and I keep going." I said, "You'd be surprised how many people do that. I've learnt." My only connection to Adelaide was my affection for the Adelaide Crows that I'd supported. Until 2017. Nothing good happened in 2017 other than a team with a yellow stripe and a black top decided to just win it all and send me into like an absolute pit of misery. But other than that, Adelaide wasn't a bucket list item for me at that time. So we chatted for maybe about five more minutes about what they were looking for. I said, how about I'll go and I'll talk to my wife. So come home and I said, hey, I had this phone call from my friend from Adelaide. And we chatted for no longer than 10 minutes and we came to the conclusion, we're not going. We're definitely not going to Adelaide. Like, go Crows, but we're not going there. So I ring him up and I said, hey, sorry to like disappoint you, but like we're not even going to consider like this opportunity that you want to like put in front of us. So all the best finding who you're looking for. Kiss you. God bless. Fast forward 3 months, I get another phone call. It's from my friend from Adelaide. He starts sussing out what I'm up to and then he starts the conversation again. So what are the chances that you would and your family would like to come to Adelaide? I said, hey, I'm going to make this real short for you. I'm not going to talk to my wife. The answer's no. Like there's no chance our family is coming over there. All the best looking for the person that you're after. But there was an undercurrent to like why we were saying no. There was a thing, just one thing, that we were not prepared to let go of. And that one thing was our life here in the east of Melbourne. We loved our life here in the east of Melbourne. We have some great friends in our life and world, our families here, and we were not prepared to lay down those things to go to a city where we know no one. Yet how easy is it for us to find ourselves maybe in a similar place where God speaks to us, calls us to go all in a particular area of our faith, and our answer is no. I won't do that. I won't go there. I won't do that particular thing that you are asking from me. And we could have some reasons why we would take that position of no and following through on what God's asking for us. Maybe, like me, it's something you just didn't want to do. You don't want to leave your comfort zone. You don't want to leave what you've got. Maybe what God's speaking to you about, you feel inadequate or unqualified for. Maybe you doubt that it's actually God speaking. Maybe you're like, ah, it's just my own thoughts. God would not be speaking to me about this area in my life. Maybe there's an underlying fear, an unknown on the other side that goes, not touching that. Or maybe there's a desire to just take control of your life and say, you know what? I ain't handing over the reins. My life is mine. I'm the boss. I do what works for me. But I believe this, church. God is looking for people who would shift their answer from a no to a yes to what he's inviting them into, to be a community of people that look for a reason in and not a reason out. And today, in the time that I have with you, I want to explore, like, what does it mean for us to be people that go all in on our faith and live a life of surrender? So let's get two working definitions of going all in. The first definition is this, is being willing to surrender all to him. Another definition is being completely committed and devoted to him and being totally engaged. Matter of fact, Jesus has a working definition of what it means for us to go all in. Come to Matthew 16, 24, when he says this. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Zoom in on those two words, deny yourself. Pretty much in short, this is what it means. Put down what you want and pick up what he wants. And matter of fact, this act of surrendering and denying yourself may lead you to lead down something that's good. It doesn't necessarily need to be a bad thing, but he might lay down something that's precious, that is important to you. He may ask you to lay something down that in the short term makes no sense. God, it's a good thing. But then in 3 years' time, 5 years' time, you go, now I get what God was up to. So the question is this, are you all in? Are you completely committed, devoted to him, and totally engaged? Let me put it another way. Has God got all of you or has God got some of you? Have you got what I would describe as like a Tupperware life and faith, where you've kind of got all the compartments of your life all nicely put together in a separate box, and faith is one of the boxes. It's labeled, it's nice, it's neat, and it's ordered. But faith doesn't infuse all aspects of your life. It's just a compartment over here. And the danger when we have what I call the Tupperware faith and life, and I do like Tupperware, so don't feel like I'm having a go. It blesses our household. But when we have a Tupperware like life and faith and we start behaving in the aspect where we pick and choose what works for us, that pick and choose behavior can actually overflow into our faith, where we pick and choose the parts of faith that works for us, that fit with the worldview that we want to run in, with the lifestyle that we want to pursue. Notice the theme of what I'm saying. It's all about what works for me. It's all about what works for us. And if we're going to be people that go all in, it can't be on our terms. It needs to be on His terms. So today, in the time that I have with you, I want to look at a guy in Scripture that was faced with a choice to pay the cost, to lay down his life and to go all in. But he didn't, because of one thing. There was just one thing stopping him from fully trusting, fully believing and fully living for God. Come with me to Matthew 19. And we're going to read a story together. We're going to kick off in verse 16 in just a moment. But let's get some quick context on this story. Matter of fact, this story we're looking at actually features in three of the Gospels. So it gets a little bit of airtime in Scripture. And throughout the Gospels, it's fascinating as you look at each book that he features in, that the writer like profiles the individual a little bit differently. Like, for example, like, so we got Matthew 19, Mark 10, Luke 18. So Matthew describes this person as a young man. In Mark, this person is just described as man, like nothing more, no other airtime. Like, think about it. If you're going to feature in Scripture, there's a part of you that'd be like, surely you can put my name. Like, surely just put my name there, not just man. Like, give me something more than that. In the book of Luke, it actually describes this person as a certain ruler. So who is this man of mystery? Like, is he a young man? Is he just a man? Or is he a certain ruler? Well, you start digging around commentaries, you start to profile and understand this man that is between the ages of 20 to 40. This person is more of a religious lay leader or a Pharisee. And the reason why we can start drawing these conclusions is there's some clues in his behavior. We can start seeing the tone of how he questions Jesus, but also his alignment to the law. A few other quick things. These type of people are pretty well off. And in first century Palestine, Roman occupiers were allowed to self-rule. Now we join this conversation between this man and Jesus. And one other thing I want to highlight is this, is how this man addresses Jesus. He addresses him as teacher. Now, if you're addressed as teacher, culturally in this time, it was a sign of respect. But also it positions someone who is a teacher in the culture is that you have something of value to share with me. So this is the posture of the conversation. So join me in Matthew 19, verse 16. And here's what it says. And behold, a man came to him saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, well, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. Verse 18. He said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, well, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You should love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said, well, all of these I've kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, from this text, I just want to draw out three quick things about what it means to be all in and to live a life of surrender. The first thing is this, if you're writing notes, I'd write this down. Number one is that we need to focus on the main thing. Well, what's the main thing? There are so many things we could focus on when it comes to our faith. Matter of fact, if we did like some sort of like anonymous poll, we said, what's the most important thing in your faith? I would say the majority of us might land in a similar area, but I'm sure there would be some that would land in a few different areas depending on their bias and their faith journey. So what's the most important thing? What's the main thing? Well, the first thing is this, is that we need to prioritize our relationship with Jesus. It says this in verse 18, keep the commandments. So let's stop there before we dig in any more into the text. What are the commandments? Which one? Which is the most important? Who gets to the top? Who's at the bottom? Jesus answered that question in Matthew 22, 37. He says this, the most important commandment, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew 22 in the Message translation says this: love the Lord your God with all your passion, prayer, and intelligence. This is the most important and the first on any list. Do you want to know what the Greek word for all is? It's all. It's all encompassing. I like that. I did one for you. I know Zeke loves the Greek. So it encompasses all of your being, that you would devote all of your time and your energy. And it's because God doesn't just want some of you. God wants all of you. He doesn't just want certain parts of your life, certain time slots in your week. He wants all of your being. So the question we need to ask ourselves is this: is Jesus the main thing? And if we're going to be people that go all in on our faith, it starts with this. Do you love him? Like, do you love Jesus? Are you actively pursuing Jesus with all of your heart? Are you spending time to dwell on his word? And not just dwell on his word, to actually take the words of Joshua 1, to meditate on his word day in and day out, to lean into his instruction, get the instruction, and then go live that instruction in our everyday life. Is he the main thing? Or is he just the main thing when you're here? Or the main thing when you jump on church online, or you listen to the podcast, or to the Jesus that we sing about, the Jesus that we learn about, have our full devotion and our full commitment. The second thing that we learn about going all in is that the price is not up for negotiation. I don't know about you, but I love a good deal, and I love getting a bargain, especially on Facebook Marketplace. There's just something about working a deal. Like, you feel like a winner if you get an amazing price, because you can get some great stuff on Marketplace, great secondhand stuff. You can get stuff that people have never used. And when it comes to my approach to Facebook Marketplace, and I now realize with so many people here today that my approach is now going to be, you know, publicized. And so if I ever turn up in your inbox, please play along. Because I'm not the standard guy that just like clicks, hey, is this still available? No, I want to build a connection with you. I want you to feel like I'm with you, I'm interested in what you have, and I want a great deal because I want to be a winner. So that's kind of how I do it. So I'll give you an example. Probably a couple of months ago, we were looking at just upgrading a caravan. Don't need to, but we're just having a conversation. And if you've got a caravan, you're just like, oh, what would it be like if we upgraded? So I started scrolling Facebook Marketplace and I found one that I really liked. And I noticed something. He had dropped the price down and it's only been up for 2 weeks. I'm thinking to myself, you're my guy. You want to sell? I want a deal. This is my type of guy. I'm excited to interact with you. So I start with the, you know, hello. And I kind of affirm, you know, the van, wow, amazing van, great features. What's the best price? He writes back this: sorry, the price is not up for negotiation. I was like, that's okay. We have a starting point. Good to know where we're starting from. Thank you so much. I'm like, I like the van. I know what to do. I'm going to go see him. Because, you know, I don't know about you. I don't want to make the journey and not have confidence that I'm going to win and get this van. So I was like, you know what? It's not that far away. Let's go. And I take my kids, take my wife, and I let my kids run in the van. I was like watching them just play. They're lying. They're imagining where they're going to be. And I'm telling them, like, how happy are my children? They're having such a great time in the van. Wow, this feature's great. This, wow. I said, out of curiosity, can you remind me, what's the best price again? And he goes, oh, it's not up for negotiation. I was like, yeah, that's right. So I've picked up a few things on the van, actually, which were genuine, before you all question my character. Genuine. And to be honest, I really don't know much about caravans. Like, I'm always like calling my friends, FaceTiming them. I actually have no idea what I'm doing. But I like to act like I know what I'm doing. So I pick a few things and I said, I think that'll cost me some money. I think, don't know. But I think it'll cost me some money. So what's the best price? He says, it's not up for negotiation. I say, okay, that's cool. He then goes on to say, man, this van has been so popular. Matter of fact, ever since I put it up 2 weeks ago, I'm just inundated with requests. Like, this thing would be gone tomorrow. I'm thinking to myself, nah, it's not as hot as you think it is, mate. If it was so hot, it would have been gone ages ago. And you wouldn't have been like wooing me over with this van. Nah, not going to happen. So I came back and said, oh, what's the best price? So once again, he stayed firm. We exchanged numbers and I was cheeky enough to message him a week later to ask the question, what's the best price? But he never changed. even though I was trying to find my way through, he stayed strong. And you know what? Jesus is kind of doing the same here. Not that Jesus is negotiating over a van, but Jesus is staying strong. He's not watering down or adjusting what's expected to go all in your faith. Even though this man is starting to ask questions, he's looking for a loophole. Come back to verse 17. He's asking questions around like which ones, or in verse 20, like what do I still lack? And this mode of questioning is very common of someone who would be like a Pharisee. Because you know what a Pharisee does? They look for a way out. They're looking for a loophole. They're looking for a way out and not a way in to what Jesus is inviting them into. But Jesus does not negotiate. He doesn't change what is expected. And you know what? If we're going to be people that go all in on our faith, we cannot be people that customize the type of Jesus that we want to follow. But it's about submitting yourself to his ways. I guess the question for us today is this: have you been trying to negotiate what your spiritual journey looks like to fit into your terms and not his terms? The third thing, and I think this is one of the main points I want to pull out of this story of Matthew 19, it would be this: if we don't surrender all, we miss it. Verse 22 in the Message translation says this: "That was the last thing the young man expected to hear. And so crestfallen, he walked away. He was holding on tight to a whole lot of things and he couldn't bear let go." Zoom in on that last sentence. If you're a highlighter, highlight that. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and he couldn't bear let go. So Jesus has asked him to go all in, but he's not prepared to do it all because of money. He was not prepared to lay down his wealth, to go all in on Jesus. And because of that, he missed it. He missed the thing that Jesus had for him. And you know what? How easy is it for us to be like this man in this story? We follow Jesus. We know about him. We might have some questions along the way. But there's just one thing from us fully trusting, fully believing, and fully living for him. For this man, it was money. But I wonder what it is for you. What's that one thing stopping you from going all in on your faith? What's that one thing that you have held tight, for some of you for quite a long time, that you would not bear, let it go and surrender it to Jesus? Is it your career? Because you've invested so much, you've sacrificed so much to get to that position in the organization. And you're like, I'm not changing. I'm not going a different course. I'm holding on. Is it that relationship with that person or that group of people? Is it a social status, that self-brand you're trying to build? Is it that connection and dependence on entertainment, social media? Is it a material possession? Is it money? Is it habit? Is it an addiction? Is it a substance? Is it a thing that happened way back then in the past that you have still hung on to that you just won't let go? Now, don't hear me position all of these things and say, hey, they're bad things. Some of them are, and some of them are getting in the way of the life that you were created to live. And for some of us, we've actually elevated some of these things to a higher position than our relationship with God. Some of these things we depend on more than we actually depend on God for our everyday life. The question is there something just sitting in us, getting in the way of us fully trusting, fully believing, and fully living for him? And are you prepared to lay it down? Or would you say, thanks Jesus for the offer, but I'm gonna walk away? Yet if there's only one thing you remember out of everything we talk about today, if there's only one thing you write down when it comes to going all in, living a life of surrender, I want you to write this one thing down that we learned from this story, and it's this: whatever rules your heart rules your life. So what rules your life in 2025? You see, we read about a man today that let his wealth rule his heart, and because of that, he missed it. But you know what? Throughout scripture, you can actually read about two other people in a similar situation, that responded actually differently. Come to Matthew 27, you read about Joseph from Arimathea. And in Luke 19, we read about a guy called Zacchaeus. Both of them in a great financial position that didn't let their wealth get in the way of going all in. They didn't let money rule their heart. They let Jesus rule their heart. So the question for us is this: who rules your heart? Who rules your heart? And would you choose to surrender all of yourself, not some, but all of yourself, and go all in? And if you did, I wonder what he would say. I wonder what you would do. I wonder where you would go. So what happened to all those phone calls from that guy from Adelaide? 6 months later, he rings again from the first one. We start chatting and I said, oh, how's that new staff member that you were looking for? I've seen you stop posting about it online. You must have found someone. He goes, actually, that's why I'm calling. I was like, okay. He goes, so what are the chances you and your family would consider coming to Adelaide? I was like, bro, you need some new content. Like, man, if this is our new thing, like, because you're a senior pastor now, this is your new thing, anytime there's a role, you're going to ring me if I'm not connected to a church, in a church paid role. I was like, nah, man, this is where we're going, I'm just going to ignore your calls. Like, let's just go back to talking football and just life. But I said, as we wrapped up the call, I'll do one thing. All I'm going to do is I'm going to tell Laura that you rang. That's it. All right? No, promise. Yeah, I'm just going to say, he rang. He's like, all right. So I get home and we're having dinner and I said, you're not going to believe who rang me today. This guy in Adelaide, I said, it's third time in 6 months. I was like, nah, we're not doing that. She looks at me and goes, maybe we should just talk to them. And I quote, she was here in the first service. I love this part. She goes, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? And I said, don't know, because most people drive through Adelaide. So I messaged, said, all right, we'll chat. We're just chatting, nothing more. Like, I don't want a job description. We're just chatting, you know. He goes, all right, we'll do the chat with the executive pastor on this day. But I never committed to a time. This gives you my level of commitment to like exploring this opportunity. Even on the day, it's like 5 o'clock. I said, we'll chat Thursday night. At 5 o'clock, I'm still getting text messages. So what time are we chatting? And I reckon about an hour out, I committed to a time. I said, 8 p.m. See you on FaceTime. We'll chat at 8 p.m. And my approach, my mindset for this was like, it's going to kill off this idea. Like, I'm going to get rid of this guy for good. Like, it's been a lot of phone calls. I'm going to get rid of it. We're all going to move on with our lives. We get on, we chat to the exec pastor who I hadn't met before. And man, it was a fascinating phone call because I just went hard for questions. I was going to find something that I didn't like that I could hang my hat on and say, we're not coming based on that. And for 3 hours, I wasn't able to put my hat on something where I could like, you know, kill off the idea. So we hung up, went to bed. We went driving through the Yarra Valley the next day and we're just chatting. And I said to Laura, I said, oh, so what do you reckon of the chat last night? She goes, actually, I feel really at peace. Maybe we should have another chat. And I was looking at her like, she goes, what about you? I said, indifferent, no leading, no direction. So I guess if you're peaceful, we'll do what? We're doing one more conversation. Well, one turned into another one, another one, another one. Another one, another one, another one. Matter of fact, it took us into a 6-week process of discerning, is this the very thing God was calling us to do? And I remember we picked another Thursday night and this was going to be like D-Day. There's been a lot of talking, there's been a lot of praying, there's been a lot of discerning. And I remember sitting in our lounge room and we just started to reflect on what God was saying and doing in our life. And part of that process was that I actually reflected on an 18-month journey going, oh, this has been a big like setup by God. I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments where you start getting the aha, where it's like, hang on, this is a stitch up. Like I've been slowly moving towards something without knowing. Because I'd started to notice over an 18-month period that God had asked me to surrender multiple things in my life, to lay things down. I first started way back when we were pastoring here. It's like, hey, would you lay down this ministry? And the answer was like, yeah, if that's what you want me to do, I'll lay it down. I want you to lay down like your job and your financial security, and you have no guarantee of when you're getting paid. Even though you're a young family, you have a mortgage, I want you to lay it down, okay? I'll lay down my finances, I'll lay down what I do. And then I found myself in what I'd say the third one is, would you lay down the life that you've built? The thing that you are most attached to, your friends, your family, your just people you love being around. Would you lay down this? Would you surrender it to be where I want you to be? And after a 6-month journey, the answer became yes. Yes, I would. I would surrender. I would lay down those things. And 5 weeks later, we moved and started at that church. No messing around. We were gone. We were there. And you know what? There was plenty of like tears and heartache, and you felt the weight of like this decision to lay down your life in this way, because this is going to cost you. But I could put my hand on my heart and say, this was the very thing that God had called me to do. This is the very place that where he had called us to be. And you know what? I'm so glad we went. You know, for 5.5 years, we called that our home. And we saw God do some profound things. Many people come to faith, many people owning their faith, people getting baptized, people going and living out their faith. We saw God move actually quite miraculously, physical healings. We saw people being restored, breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. We had the opportunity to raise and release leaders, to be part of reimagining this church that we were part of in the north of Adelaide, to start building a strategic future and then launching it into its future. But all of this wouldn't have been possible if we didn't surrender. If we didn't lay down our life, if we didn't let go of that thing, that one thing that we held tight. So the question is this, are you all in? Are you all in on your faith? Has God got all of you, or has he just got some of you? And is there just one thing? Maybe it's a series of things that you've been holding on real tight, that you would come into this year and say, hey, you know what, God, I've been holding on to some things. Maybe some things that are really good, but you would enter this year with a posture of surrender, saying, hey, you know what, I'm gonna lay this down. I'm going all in on you. I'm not gonna play games in my faith any longer. I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna fully believe, fully live, and fully trust you with my life. How about we stand together and we're gonna pray. I'd love it if you would just close your eyes all over this place. You know, I'd love to just pray for some people, but also create some space for actually us just to worship, to lean in, to surrender afresh to our God. But I do want to pray for people that maybe as we're speaking, maybe as we're just unpacking this word, maybe there's a thing bubbling to the surface. Something that's been getting in the way of you fully trusting, fully believing, and fully living for him. Maybe there's something in your life and world that you've elevated higher than your relationship with God. Maybe there's something in your life and world that you depend on more, that you depend on God, that maybe today in this moment that you would realign the order. That you would realign your dependence to say, hey, God's my first stop, not my last stop. He is my first priority, my highest priority in my life. And maybe part of today, God wants you to lay down your comfort. Maybe something that's been really convenient in your life. Maybe he wants you to lay down life plans. Some of you might have extraordinary life plans, 5-year plans, 10-year plans, but maybe today is about, hey, I'm gonna lay those things down. Maybe it's some doubts. Maybe it's our dependence on things that take us away from God. Maybe it's that, or maybe it's something else. But I would just love to pray for some people that just want to surrender afresh in those areas. Let go of that thing or series of things and say, hey, God, I'm going to go all in. No one else is looking. I've got my eyes open just so I know who I can pray for. If that's you, I'd love you just to raise your hand where you are and say, yeah, that's me. If I'm honest, I need to lay something down afresh. there's this thing or series of things. Don't worry, we're not going to walk around and do open mic and say, what's your thing? This is just a moment between you and God. Just raise your hand real high, just so I can see you. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And what I'm going to invite you, if you just raise your hand, is actually just to put your hands out in front of you. Take this posture of surrender. It's a posture like it's like you're receiving a gift. It's saying, God, I want you to come. So let me pray. Father God, I thank you for every single in this room or joining us online. Thank you, God, that you are moving. And I thank you, God, that you are revealing things that we are holding on to. For some, we've held on to them for a long time. For some, these things have really undermined and eroded our relationship with you. For some, it's laying down something that's been good, something that is maybe bared fruit, but its season is coming to an end, that we would lay it down and say, God, I trust you. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be a people that would trust and depend on you, that we wouldn't depend on something else to find the fix and the thing that we need to get through the moment we're in, but we would come and depend on you, that we would make you our first stop and not our last stop in Jesus' name. God, would you renew our heart, realign our thoughts, our behavior, our love and devotion for you.
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.